Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome three great women in music, Talia Paul, Kathy Lauer, and Alona Europa. Talia is a singer-songwriter and guitarist with many of her songs featured in TV shows and film. Kathy is a slide blues player and runs Tone Zone LA, which makes custom pedal boards, rack systems, and home studio wiring. Alona is a talk show here on LA Talk Radio and a singer. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Welcome, everybody, to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. That was a mouthful, Scott. I didn't think you were going to finish in time.
I did, didn't I? I don't know.
You did. You just made it. But that's good. No, that's cool.
What would you do? We'll cut him off?
No, but
like
there's...
Like Grammys, Oscars, and then boom, boom, music, please go.
He had to do the condensed version because these three ladies that are here tonight, there's a lot more to them than just what he had just said. And we'll get into that in a minute. But first, Scott. How's everything over there? How are you doing? Is it warmer over there? Or are you freezing?
Oh, it's warm. It's good. You know, there is warm weather in other parts of the world besides LA. But yes, it's good. But you know what? I actually got to see some really cool thing today. I actually got to see a bald eagle flying over my house.
But you had no earthquake. We had one.
Well, yeah,
we had one.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything there.
No. The other thing I wanted to mention, though, that I was actually kind of excited about. So for those of you that know, I'm running remote now, so I'm using the Audio-Technica USB 2020, AT2020 USB. So they Audio-Technica just announced a new version of this microphone at NAB, which is going on, I think, started today. And that is an AT2020 USB-I. So the cool part about that is it does 24-bit digital and 96 kilohertz audio, and then it also has, for people that like Mac, so it doesn't help me any, but it has lightning connections.
So it's a Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt
USB connector. And lightning connection in it. So.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So. I have no idea what he was talking about.
Well, if you have to get one of the newer, if you have one of the newer Macs, it's great because it allows you to, at 24-bit 96K, that's a lot of data going through, and the lightning, the Thunderbolt connector allows you to do the throughput without it messing up.
This is complicated. I'm sorry, Scott. This is really complicated.
That's all right, but they're cool mics, and they actually, you know, I mean, I would say that most people would, other than me saying it, would probably not know that I'm not in the studio right now.
No, you sound like you are next to us.
Yes. Okay. And that mic, I have the Amazing. 2035, which just has the pad on it. And it's basically the same type of mic, and they're great for guitar. Electric guitar, I use it a lot. It's a very good – I used it on a thing I did for Alona, which we'll talk about in a minute. Anything going on video-wise? Have you had a chance to start re-editing the video? I know you're just unpacking.
No, I haven't, but I plan hopefully this week I'll have some stuff going, I promise.
Okay. All right. He promised. Everybody heard that. He promised it.
Video about what?
No, we shot a lot of stuff at NAMM, so he's still behind. There's a lot of cool things.
Yeah,
that
you
we
need
saw
to
there.
Tell us that. Gosh. Like inside stories that we don't understand. Yeah. I feel excluded. Now I feel included.
All right. Well, listen, we'll be right back, and we'll just go take our commercial break, and we'll be right back and talk about women in music.
Hi, Kenny Burgle here from Sweetwater. We're super happy to support Jeff and Scott and the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show on LA Talk Radio. You can see all the specs and pics of your favorite gear and amazingly low prices online at Sweetwater.com or call us at 800-222-4700. Every week, Jeff and Scott welcome heavy experts and industry mavens exploring the coolest guitars and basses, pedals, amps, strings, accessories, everything you need to rock. Sweetwater sells all that cool stuff, so listen to The Flow and then check it out online at Sweetwater.com or call one of our pro guitar enthusiasts at 800-222-4700. Don't forget that Sweetwater has 24 months equal payments, no interest financing available too. Check that out at the bottom of every Sweetwater webpage where it says easy financing and hit the red apply now button. Thanks for listening. This is Kenny Burgle and Sweetwater saying rock on with The Flow.
Hi, this is Elliot Easton of the Empty Hearts, and you're listening to Scott and Jeff on the Flow Guitar Enthusiasts.
Okay, we are back, and this is a great show. I'm really looking forward to this. I personally know everybody here, though Kathy I met most recently, but I've known Alona for quite a while because she does a show earlier than us, Accent On, and I've actually been on her show, too. So
yes.
It's been a lot of fun, and also, too, I've played on one of her records, that's one of her tracks that's coming out soon.
Josh Harris, yes, our producer, he's so busy right now, but you just gave me so many tracks, wonderful tracks, in many different styles, everything on the guitars. And how many guitars did you use?
Five.
Oh my gosh, I have everything. I cannot wait. It's almost 8 months in the making and makes me pretty angry right now. Hi, Josh Harris. I know you're busy. You are making money. You are making some great courses online. And not only, you are a really, really busy guy right now, but we are like, you know what I mean.
But we will, yes. When the record is released and stuff, I'll talk about what we use and what I use on the, because I pulled out a bunch of my acoustic guitars on there, and I did do some electric work on her too. But anyway, let me introduce everybody. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to play a clip of Alona. She's got an interesting career. I mean, I'm always in awe of the fact that she has a master's degree in music. That's just not easy. I have a bachelor's, and that's about as far as I got. But anyway, she's a singer-songwriter. She's an international pop star. She's on both sides of the Atlantic. And she's just done a lot of interesting stuff. I'm going to play a clip in a second. She's also, if you ever use the Sony Vocal Loop Library, that's her voice on there, which is kind of cool, and I've used it. And she's a music producer. She does licensing. She's a talent agent. She's also a talent developer. And one of the things I think is really cool, she's introducing us to a lot of new, younger acts, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But let me play a clip of Easy Come, Easy Go, which was one of her big hits internationally. Easy come, easy go. And now, secondly, I want to introduce Talia Paul, who I met via Alona. She's a songwriter. Hi. She's a producer. She's performed at Live Aid. She's open for a lot of major acts. She's also an actress, and she's in one of my favorite commercials, the Tony the Tiger one, where she's water skiing, and I got to find that on YouTube. But her music also has been featured on TV shows like Dawson's Creek, Two Ninjas. Cowgirls, Two Ninas. Yeah. I spoke that wrong.
Hilarious story about that. I'll tell you later.
And Cowgirls, which is interesting because we did the Blu-ray for that when I worked at Panasonic.
Whoa.
So I actually saw that. It was an interesting movie.
Yeah.
Now, let me play a clip of hers of that. But anyway, another person that's doing a lot of interesting stuff. And here's a clip. This is called Let You In. And from this is the album Light Will Come, if I'm correct.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
And I don't show this place to just anyone. Wait a minute, yes I do. I show this place to everyone but you. I'm a live wire, and you're a genius. You saw through my apathy, you saw through my meanness, and I let you. Let you in.
And thirdly, I'm going to just play clips because I want everybody to know just how talented these people are. So the third one, Kathy, blues, rock, slide guitar. I met you at you met Scott a year earlier, but I met you, really got to talk at the Lonnie's Pedal Expo this last couple of weeks. Yep. She plays in a group called Lynette Skynyrd, which is a all-girl band that basically does Lynyrd Skynyrd, which is interesting, too. There are no coincidences, because when I saw The Who, they opened, Lynyrd Skynyrd opened back in the 70s. It was a great, great show, and I was listening to Lynette Skynyrd, and it's pretty close. It's really, really close. She also works, she has her own company. She's done recording engineering. She's an audio tech. She does custom pedal boards and rack systems. Her company is Tone Zone LA. And let me play her clip. This is from Lynette Skynyrd. This is called Trust, and it's from the album Hot as a Fox in a Forest Fire. So here we go. Welcome, everybody. She's a killer player. Now, I have a special thing when we, at the end of the show, I edited all three of you guys performing, and there's a really killer wah-wah solo that she does. So there's more coming. But anyway, welcome, and thank you guys all for coming in here.
Thank you.
I wanted everybody to see, to kind of validate everything that you guys are doing, because you guys are really doing it. The music is great. And but I want to get into a little bit about being a woman and being in the industry, and also too how it's changed over maybe the last 10 years or so. First, I want to talk to Alona, because you've been on both sides of the Atlantic. I mean, basically, you're an international pop star. You've been everywhere. How do you compare the U.S. in the last 10 years in terms of opportunities for women as opposed to Europe?
There are really two different worlds, I think. Europe, I'm talking Eastern Europe, has a really very nice way of pricing women on a stage. When you are a star or people love you, you feel love. Not for 5 minutes. Like, you are like love. You can be 60, you are still love. Then I came to America and I was like 30-something, like, oh, she's old. We don't love her anymore, because that was the time for Britney's and NSYNC and stuff like that. Then I'm like, it's not about how maybe good you are, what your past is, what you really did here, there. You need to start all over. Mm-hmm. And in my way, in a funky way, I just rediscover myself, reinvent myself. And I just decided to go after dance music, which is ageless. And still, I was missing all that I left behind. And I'm sneaking, that's English, sneaking from time to time the mood of when I wake up and I'm feeling angry that I know that Jeff will be playing on guitars. And I will be singing, easy come, easy go. you know, that's my motto.
Yeah, well, that
you're right.
And that song, you notice that she has a rock edge to it.
Yep.
And guitars are important.
Very important. This song was really written, there was a pop rock song. Then later, Josh Harris, just, who is a producer again to Madonna, Cher, and he remixes so many great people, and he's doing great stuff for Killers, for, then he really knows both sides of the business. And he just put dance music and add guitars because that's what felt right for me, you know, knowing that you can be driven and you can drive mood of the song, still being modern Vogue in a way that I wanted to be, because I was reinventing myself, still send strong message to the woman that easy come, easy go in life. That's what really is happening. But you are a strong, you must be stronger every day. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just not giving up and just not giving up. I don't care. I'm a musician, singer, songwriter, not only, and I will do until I decided to not to.
Yeah. No, it's hard to convey it on the radio, but when I come in, Cher shows at 6 o'clock, and that's usually when I come in to get ready for our show, and your energy is just incredible. I mean, this lady's nonstop. Yeah. She's always going. She's just, and it's, I mean,
I love people. I love musicians. I love everybody who just can prove how hard could be once, and then we all, you know, can get over this hump, bad or good one, and just do it and do it. And especially for musicians, it's just never, ever a peaceful day. We always think, we always compose, we always dream, we always cry or just are happy for a second.
Yeah.
And then again, we are sad, sad, sad. Then second, you know, sad, sad, sad. It's a beautiful business. I think that, especially that I develop talents of young people and seeing them being so loving the process of becoming musicians, and more you give them the time of the day, more beautiful human beings they become. Really, music can heal, music can make them happy, music takes away all bad, you know, thoughts about things that maybe they will do if they will have more time on their hands. But now they devote to, you know, just singing, writing, composing. It's just, music is beautiful.
Yeah. Now let me ask Kathy your experience, because you're in a pretty raucous band. I mean, that's a, you know, I don't know the type of, in terms of the gigs that you play, do you find that it makes a difference, or do you, have you experienced any negative aspects of being, you know, working with other people, with women?
Well, that style of music, Southern rock, for, and Lynyrd Skynyrd specifically, is very macho music, and it's definitely, it's women going against the grain there, which is precisely why we do it, and that's been my nature as a guitar player since I started, just because to me that's some of the best sounding music and expression on the guitar. But to answer your question, yes, there's been resistance there, and we were talking and laughing about that earlier. It's like sometimes, you know, our male counterparts do feel kind of threatened that we're doing something that traditionally they had the domain over. And, you know, and now it's more common to see women playing guitar and shredding in metal bands, which was 20 years ago. It wasn't that common. Yeah. Same thing with hard rock, and hard rock, I mean, like AC/DC and, you know, bands like such, you know, and women going in that direction. I mean, we've always, women have been in pop, women have been in have been in folk and even punk rock, but I mean, this
well,
is
for a long time, absolutely. A lot of them, they would put a girl in front with a male rhythm section, and basically she would sing and be the front person. But you're saying then that a lot of times the resistance you saw were from musicians themselves.
Musicians themselves. If you were trying to become part of a band that was hopefully co-ed or predominantly male, you could suffer some resistance there, you know.
Really?
Some of it could be not even related to your whether you can play in your talent. It could just be image. And,
right.
And, you know, that it goes with what Alon was saying, too. It's like, you know, we're especially here in Los Angeles, we are very image based. So,
yeah. Well, I've seen that for a band auditions. If you ever, you know, look in Music Connection, it's like send a photo as opposed to send a tape.
Music.
Right.
It's like you kind of get a feeling. Okay. But no, that's interesting to me. I mean, I get that. A lot of people have asked me about that. But when I was a kid, when we were playing a lot, especially in college, we didn't see a lot of women players at the time. But to me, if you played good, I don't care what your gender was. That's another guitar player. That's another. That's double leads. I can do that. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I never. To me, it's a player, and I really do think now. And let me know if you guys agree. I think at this point, because you're seeing a lot of stuff on YouTube, there's these monster shredders. It's just scary how they play, and it's like it knows no gender. You're either a good player or you're not a good player.
Oh God, yeah, thank you for and right. Yeah, you are right. You can discover talents everywhere. Nobody cares anymore. You have clicks, you have views, and people just enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's not what somebody told you that is right to watch or listen to. It's really what people want to listen.
Yeah, no, I was listening to some of Kathy's stuff, and this clip that we'll play at the end of the show with her on Wawa. It's just killer. I mean, she's got the tone, and she's using the wah-wah pedal, and it's like a Clapton type of thing, and it's really cool. I mean, I'm jealous.
Guitar hero.
So Jeff, speaking of Music Connection, if you wouldn't mind, I mean, I've got your picture. You've sent it enough, so.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah. No, actually, it's for another time. I did audition for a band. I'm not going to mention who it was. I did it as a dare. Actually, I didn't sign up. I just walked in as a prank and freaked them out because I didn't look at, you know, it was kind of like a new wave band. And I was dressed very conservatively, and I'm like, "What's the problem?" And they like freaked, like, "Well, you need to talk to our manager." But it was like it was really interesting. But that's another story. But anyway, Talia,
hi.
Your experiences, have you seen it? How has it been like in the last 10 years or so for you? Is there any difference, or is it better? Is it worse? Have you had any problems? Have people?
The one problem that I'm coming up with is that I'm 10 years older. And I don't like being 10 years
I know
older
what you mean.
So other than that, it's all the same. No, I mean, I think that what we're talking about, what Alana and Kathy too, which I'm just blown away by these two women, amazing. Uh-huh. And what we were talking about and what you brought up about the gender neutrality, just, you know, either way, it's if you're a good player, you're a good player. If you're a good writer, you're a good writer. And I've always kind of, I'm a girl, I'm a woman, but I always just feel like I always think of myself as a storyteller, as an artist who's a storyteller, and that, to me, I hope and pray, is timeless. So I can go and tell my stories and play my guitar, but I'm not like this, you know, I try not to be like that another chick with a guitar, folk singer kind of thing. But when you're a storyteller, you know, I mean, I had someone actually, a lawyer that I was working with, he goes, yeah, we got to... A lot of your stuff is very dated. And I was like, oh, really? And then because I always thought it was kind of timeless, you know, when you're telling a story. But I think in the production side, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, my producer happens to be a man, Mark Hallman in Austin, Texas. And, you know, we co-create the record. But I never ever once think of
well, a
he's
lot
a guy
of it goes. I think a lot of it goes in cycles. Like the clip I just played, it's more kind of like a little folk song. It's a very intimate, you know. Yeah, you're not using any loops in there, and that's true. But it goes around, and also too, the music that you're doing there works live. You can tell that song will work live if you listen to what you, I mean.
It was
it's
played
very,
live.
Yeah,
it was played live, and because my producer didn't like that song. So really? I said, we're going to do this song. He goes, well, you can do it, but you got to stand in the control room and just sing it because I'm not going to produce it.
Oh.
And I said, well, it's the last
game.
Time I worked with for
God, man.
Well, no,
no, but I mean, this is something that happened. I mean, you know, maybe it was I don't think it was a sexism thing. It was just it was an opinion.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, listen, I know you're putting up all the money for this record, but this is my record still. And I really want to play this song. So I'm going to go ahead and do it, like you said, in the control room live. So that's what that is.
Wow.
No, I mean.
I don't know if I like this story.
Now he likes it.
Some producers, that's true. They're very opinionated, but, you know.
Yeah, they must be something.
There's validity, and it's from the heart, too. And the thing is, that song's important. And when you you perform it, you can feel it. And I think that's important. There's a magic that and you've all experienced that.
Yeah.
Because you're coming, it's coming from your heart. It's not just, you're not just.
I always thought a good song is a good song. Today, right. Tomorrow, yesterday, and 20 years from now.
Thank you.
Apropos exactly. 20 years exactly. ago, I left my country, and I'm going back and forth. But 20 years ago, I left with 70 songs recorded, on my... I didn't have a record. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I left to America, and I left my country with so many songs recorded, but never had a chance to put this on the record. 25 years later, today, I just got released album with the best of whatever Ilona was 20 years ago. Huh. And I'm already getting little beautiful, Kathy, that you said, responses. People say these songs could be now. They're so pretty, so nice, mm-hmm. so okay, or whatever they are. I didn't see this album yet. It's, in air somewhere, coming to me. But you are right. We love to listen to 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s, whatever. Mm-hmm. Memories. Music makes memories. Mm-hmm. And I think artists are, for this reason, loved because we bring something to the table. If people like the song 20 years ago, they will love it now.
Yeah, and a lot of, there's always revivals that go. We were talking before the show, Kathy and Dolly were talking about production types of, miking, how you get your sound and stuff like that. And those older style ways of doing things are being constantly used. Mm-hmm. People are emulating, what was done in the 60s and the 70s, where you didn't have all the technology and you just had mics, So you're right. It doesn't really matter. Now,
just that the 60s and 70s are what's when I was born, and that's where I stay. That's where I love.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was an amazing time.
Yeah.
It was an amazing time because there was a lot of experimentation, and it was like an open thing. It's like you can do, if you want to mix this style of music with this style of music, it was like it's cool.
Well, they weren't worried about cranking out pop hits. They were worried about being artists.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Talia is trying to say. And mm-hmm. a good song is a good song, and it's especially if it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, I don't try to force them out. I say I let them out when they're ready to come.
Yeah.
They come out,
true.
and they're what's really you. And one of my songwriting heroes is Neil Young because he's him. And Neil is going to do what Neil wants, and because he needs to express himself that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's to
me. Well, when he went into his grunge period, everybody freaked out, and he's like, "That's what I want to do."
Right.
Exactly.
You have to admire it. I mean, Joni Mitchell, or even she went into her jazz phase. A lot of people are like, I don't know, that's just not going to sell, but it was brilliant stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that lady knows her. I mean, she knows. I think she's self-taught. I don't think she's gone to school, but she knows arranging.
Oh, my God.
She's just amazing,
And then when Shine came out, was it called Shine? What was that?
Yeah. She was playing around with keyboards and stuff. It was really cool.
It's just
very cool. Now, one of the things that impresses me the most about you guys, all three of you, is that you wear many hats, and you're doing a lot more. You're doing a lot more than just playing the instrument, or in your case, in Alona's case, singing the instrument.
Yep.
You guys, you're songwriters, you're producers, you're engineers. Kathy's done. She's done circuit. I mean, pedalboard design, and the multitasking thing is, and you guys are all involved in media very actively. I mean, Ilona has the radio show. You've done videos. And I think that's really important because today it's no longer, you're not just a guitar player anymore. It's like you're a media artist. And how do you guys, we'll start with Talia and just go right across. How do you guys, how did you learn that, or how do you deal with that? Is it hard to do that, to wear those many hats, or is it kind of natural now?
Jeff, it's interesting. I'm not by natural, like I'm a natural, I want to say I'm going to put it mildly, like a Renaissance person. So I like to wear a lot of different hats. In my life, I've done, like, a lot of my side jobs have been, like, coaching, voice, teaching guitar, teaching songwriting, which you can't really teach songwriting, but you can coach. You can help someone. But I've also trained horses. I've worked as a nursing assistant. I've done kind of pretty much every waitressing, hostessing job, and I fix everything around the house, like, so I save the money by, you don't have to call a plumber. So, so I don't know. I think that I am, I'm very happy doing a lot of different things, but there's one thing that's not negotiable in my life, which is don't mess with my music. Like, yeah. that's what I do. That's my language, and that's my voice.
But you guys all seem to be pretty well integrating, you know, social media and all of that stuff.
Yes,
because it's a new gig now. It's not radio play anymore. It's YouTube play.
YouTube.
That's where you're getting discovered, right? And your Facebook, your social media, Twitter, all of that stuff's really important.
It is.
And you guys seem to be dealing with it pretty well. I mean, successfully.
It's work, and it's, for me, it's learning, because I'm not a natural, you know, Facebooker. Although if you saw my Facebook, you'd think she posts all the time. Oh my God! But I, you know, it's something that's
and she knows how to fix doorknobs. She posted a thing, Scott. If you need any doorknob stuff, she's the lady to talk to.
YouTube, yeah, no, but YouTube, and it's very important to have all of those, because that's where we are now. That's where we are.
Kathy, what do you think?
I think for me, it was born out of necessity, because I still like to eat. So you have to learn.
Yeah.
And I want to stay connected to music. So learning how to having a recording studio was, well, it was an obsession with gear to start with. And it grew into a business to keep using it. And when there's an old saying with you in a recording studio, you're a musician, it's you're going to use it for you, and that's the last thing you ever do, because if you really work and make it work, you're way too tired to record. So but from there, it learned how to, you know, we troubleshooted our own equipment and hooking it up and wiring it, and that's where the electronics and the tech in came through. And so, okay, well, I have another skill. Let me see if I can do this. And being a guitar player, just it was an evolution getting into pedal boards and stuff, and working with artists, whether it's, you know, the Weekend Warrior or a touring artist, you know, depends on what they need. And lately, this last year, it was an evolution, started getting into actually building electronics, like buffer circuits and booster amplification and custom interfaces. And, you know, I had a touring artist last summer ask me to build some stuff like 4 days before they're going out. It's like, well, but that's typical. But it's that kind of thing where you're keeping yourself in the loop. Mm-hmm. And you're always a musician, and it's like Talia says, I mean, this is who we are. It isn't a fad or something I decide to do for a while and stop. It's in the blood, and it's not going to lighten up anytime soon. And especially doing the pedal board, is that's a labor of love as well, because it's connected to the guitar mostly, but we do keyboard rigs and bass rigs and even studio stuff too. So it's whatever hopefully pays the bills and keep you in music. Yeah.
Well, the Tone Zone seems pretty flexible. You can kind of do everything with it. But it's interesting that you, as a guitar player, and playing like you do, because you're using a lot of different sounds. And a lot of people don't realize, when you're emulating a band, it's actually tougher than when you're just playing yourself, because you can use any sound. But when you have to get that sound, and you could hear it on that first clip that we played, you know, you're getting the tone. It sounded a lot. I mean, it was pretty damn close to the real Leonard. Yeah.
It wasn't Leonard Skinner.
No, sorry, it wasn't.
Hey, Kathy, can you tell our listeners kind of about that box that you make? I know that you talked to me about it at the Pedal Expo, but it's a box you make that allows you to keep your pedal boards looking neat, provides power, and allows you to plug right into it.
Sure.
You make a couple of different custom ones.
We call it the Pedal Board Junction Box, and basically it's an interface for a guitar player who is a do-it-yourselfer. And it really is a central interface for your guitar input, mm-hmm. your amp output. It sends a send to your signal chain, which goes into the first input of your first pedal, and then the last output of your last pedal goes into the return. And the one he's talking about there, we included an AC option too, where you could use a pro type connection, locking connection for your AC. So anybody who's done a gig where you've kicked out all your connections like 2 minutes before you're ready to go on will probably appreciate that kind of thing. And we make that kind of thing generic so you don't have to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on a custom designed pedal board. If you think you could do the rest on your own, you can contact us and we'll get you one of these. Mm-hmm. We call it the Pedal Board Junction Box.
Yeah, no, but again, that's from your experience too. Which
exactly.
I think is really cool. Now, Ilona, I want to ask you something. I want to talk a little bit about your talent development in terms of the new acts, because I've seen when I've come in before the show, you have a lot of different people, a lot of different styles, a lot of global artists. And in terms of new artists and upcoming, what do you see the challenges for them? Is there a viable feel? Is it much tougher than it was before? Do you think it's the same? What are the opportunities when you have a new artist come in, especially a young one?
I think I'm the best coach that you can find around. Why? Not because I'm the best, but I think I'm the best because I can prove my students that the way how I work hard for 20 years to just not give up of what was me in mm-hmm. my own country, that when they look at me and say, if Ilona can do it, mm-hmm. I probably can do it too. Mm-hmm. And I always say, I'm much older, I have accent, I mm-hmm. barely spoke English when I came here. Nobody cared. I was too old for the pop genre in America. And I was desperate. I was so desperate. Because in my country, I had everybody already writing for me. I was singing with orchestra. Everything was arranged. I was just coming to the studio. Wow, I'm a good singer. Then I did my job. Then I had tours, concerts. Everything was beautifully built for me. I never wrote a song in my life in my country. And then when I fell in love and moved to America and lived here and then had a baby, then I just understood that I cannot be anymore what I was in my country, that I had a choice, or just give up or just be so desperate and start from zero. And I started from zero. I was sitting on tiny Casio that I got for $50 in whatever one of the stores. For $50, closed myself. Honestly, I locked myself in a room and I cried and cried. I had on a left side mirror. And it was funny because I saw myself in a mirror and I was writing songs and that had minor chords all over, because that's what Eastern Europeans are anyway. We love minor chords. But I couldn't create the songs that were the happy American chords that included majors, you know. And then I was showing the songs, and obviously I didn't speak English. That was even funnier. And I had my will to write lyrics, and I wanted the lyrics be a certain way. Then I start creating my own description of what I thought in my head. I would translate them from Polish to English. And I was going to my ex-husband and said, no, I'm right. He said, that's not English. I don't care. Need to be my way. Obviously, I was wrong 90% because really it wasn't English. Then he was trying to change. And I hated everything what he wanted to do. Didn't fit. The syllables didn't fit. The mood didn't fit. I was like, no, this word doesn't sound pretty. It's not too much A's. Not there. What do you mean by that? Then that was so painful. Nobody was around me to teach me from or do stuff with me. And then one day I just decided to talk to my friends. You know, friends, sandbox friends. I had a child. And all my friends just listen to my story and say, oh, I know this guy. He has some studio. Oh, I know this guy. I know this guy. Oh, my gosh. After, I think, 2 weeks of me being active and trying to find for myself somebody who is better than me, that will do better job than I can do on my own. Mm-hmm. And I just force myself into people's lives with tiny cassettes, with funky, with 12 songs that I wrote on a Casio for $50, okay, with funky English that was cleared up or cleaned up. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, and I just went to and met a gentleman who wrote Dancing on a Ceiling for Lion Richie. And he had big studio here. I had no idea who I was meeting. But anyway, I came with this silly 12 songs at cassette, which people already were recording on CD, but I had tiny little karaoke machine with two cassettes back, and I paid like $60 for that because I was so worried to spend money on something that nobody believed ever will bring money back. That, and this gentleman gave me his time of his night, like for 1 hour, and my husband was there too with me, ex-husband, and then yeah, and the gentleman listen, and he said, I don't like anything what you showed me, anything. I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this. And then we were driving back from this meeting, and I was, again, crying. But in the end of conversation, I just really got woman tough. I talked to this guy, said, when did you write last time, hit? I know you had one, good one, the Dancing on a Ceiling. Where is the next one? And he was a wonderful gentleman, and he said, no, I just was worried that I will never write better songs, and I just closed my songwriting business. I turned into a studio business, which he was very successful. And then later at morning, 9 in the morning, on the way back, talk conversation, you will never do it, that's stupid, stop it, stop dreaming, or whatever. But I was proud that you stood up for yourself. My ex-husband was, that was very sweet. And at morning, at 9:30, I got a phone call from the gentleman from studio, and he said, I cannot get out one song from you, from my head. And I will give you Carl
Verheyen.
Yes, he brought the bestest musician for me for
he's
for
a
the
monster.
One for one song. One of him. I had no idea. I couldn't even pronounce it. Of course, I know this. He's a god and he's amazing. He did an amazing job on one of song. And I will give you unlimited time in a studio to record one song. And from this moment on, you always need one human being who just opens the door for you and say, you know what, you maybe suck here. You need to clean. And that's what he said. Yeah. You need to clean. You can start co-writing. You need to just do it. But I didn't say don't. I thought that you want critique. I didn't say what good is about your songwriting. It was completely 12 hours difference from the you suck in my own head. I will never do anything. 12 songs, and they suck, but they didn't. I created the most beautiful, honest album, Wonderful Feelings, yeah, in the world with Carl on my last track.
Carl Verheyen.
Verheyen on my last track, and when I knew that he is doing shares and all of these people. And yeah, then I will say we all need people who are doing better things than us, who one day they will believe in us and just say, you know what, you do these things good, but if you call me, I believe that I can help. And yeah, I am lucky, and I love people. I am lucky. I'm surrounded by 99% friendships that if I reach out to somebody, mostly they say, cool, no
people,
problem.
People forget it's the accidents that usually are the really
yes,
cool things.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes,
that actually
yes,
becomes
that
some, like, you know.
It goes left and right.
Totally.
Hits you, you know. That's why I say, what, coming back to my young children, I'm calling them my babies, because some of them are 12, some are 10. They really are turning to be in year and a half artist with big A. And I'm saying you need to just understand that nobody can tell you cannot do it. Nobody can if you want, if you need, and believe that you can ask for help. A lot of
right,
people don't want to ask because they think, well, diminishing their ways of, oh, I don't know how. I always say, I don't know. I don't know. Help. You know, and people say, cool, of course. We want to help.
Yeah.
I think in music business, musicians are one of those, the bestest human beings that if we get in like each other for whatever reason, oh my gosh, story is beginning.
Yeah, no, if you believe in yourself, if you believe you can do it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
And we had on a few weeks ago, Les Wise, and he has a course called The Deliberate Musician. And I was telling Talia about it, basically to help people with music blocks and stuff like that. You can program yourself to and but when you know you basically take out the negative things yes. that you over your life, you know, people, yeah, you can't do that, you can't do that. You can mm-hmm. reprogram that, and once you do that, things start happening because you start attracting right. the positive stuff.
I want
like
to meet
did,
her.
Well, yeah. Like you did.
I still need this. I need this so badly. So many bad things happening in my life. But right now it's starting to be good.
Yeah.
And I think, never give up, Kathy, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. nobody can tell you stop doing, like
yeah,
you say,
like
Italia,
said, yeah.
it's
yeah.
the same. My music is me, and nobody can take this power from me. For me, I'm a fighter. I am the fighter.
These, when I have to explain something here, and this happened before the show, too. These ladies are some of the most lovable and sweetest people I know. But when I talked to Italia and she started talking about her music, man,
yeah.
this is me. Nobody, you know, don't yeah. mess with it. And I think the same thing with Kathy. And you're saying it right there. Yeah. They're tough when they need to get
yeah.
tough.
Yeah.
And you need to with your career when you focus. The focus of these three ladies is just incredible. They know what they want. They're going for it and they're doing it. And that's really important. You got, and I don't think, and it's not really has to do anything with gender. Mm-hmm. And in general, all of us, guys, girls, you got to focus on what you want and stick to it and go for it.
And if I may, you have to protect it. Because
yes.
there's all kinds of demands on your time, on your sanity, on my sanity, on this and that. Well, you got to do this, but you know you got to protect. You got to protect the gift that we have and to give it to the world. And also, there's a lot of fluctuation. At least for me, I think there's a thing, a stereotype of an artist like I'm great, I'm amazing. I don't think I'm very good. I suck. I'm terrible. I'm great. I'm okay. I'm good. So
yeah.
it's kind of like we have the fluctuation. At least I do. I have
Absolutely.
A fluctuation
Absolutely.
Of my.
Well,
my
we're
worth.
Human. You don't.
So
you're, you know. You do have.
But you still keep going.
You have your own self doubts, and you get scared. Like, can I do that? You know. I mean, I look at some of the stuff I did when I was, you know, when I was doing sessions and stuff, like, especially the longer hours. I'm like, God, how did I do that?
Right.
But I mean, you have. We all have that little bit of anxiety. Does it work? Especially when you open your soul up and you put a song out there and it's just you're opening your heart out, you know.
Yeah.
If somebody comes up to you, oh, God, that song just sucked. You're just crushed because they just stabbed your heart. I mean, that's a fear. I have it when I songwrite. Is somebody going to hate my song that I wrote or this guitar part? Or, you know, even when I did my session for Alona,
oh,
I'm like,
so
I was giving her music.
So
I'm like, is she going to hate this?
No, my gosh, I cannot believe.
You
gave
anxiety.
Me almost too much. And I am like, I'll try to, I think I'll take like two of these tracks, start writing another song on the top of the track that you sent it to me that is not related to the song that we really are, you know, recording right now. It's just every track was different. The sound of the guitar was different.
Well, what
your
I did
idea,
was
yes,
I did a bunch of guitars so she could actually pick. Put each guitar
oh,
in each
nice.
Track and in surround. So she's all ready for 5.1.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. And again, I'm telling you, take friendships to put additional, you know, way and heart into something that we do with you, Kathy. You know so much what artists
yeah.
need. And from even business perspective, because musician comes to music, you're just amazing. You're just, oh my God, I cannot believe it, what I heard. But being a businesswoman and just talking language that you talk right now, I'm like, oh, whoa. How can you even turn yourself to being a businesswoman, understand what people want from you and deliver 4 days before they need to go on a tour or something?
As a woman in this business, I've always it is male dominated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have to accept that right away. So you have to learn to coexist in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of my successes is I'm more of my friends, especially as musicians, are male. And that's because we speak to speak, talk to talk, and we have that thing. But you have to relate to them as well because they have a goal they're trying to get to just as if you were doing it for yourself or a female friend. It really is a business in that sense. And it's understanding what it's about. And with guitar players, it's really more of an obsession because mm-hmm. we really are addicted to this stuff. But in terms of songwriting, you were talking about that before. Is like, well, you know, songwriting and stuff is really something of a personal nature, yeah. And you're trying to express yourself and get it out. And if you're not honest, I think people can't relate to that.
They pick it up. They pick it up. If you're not honest, they'll pick that up.
And I think that's one of the things about that. I think I've said this before. Is like when I write, it isn't about trying to come up with a formula or anything. Mm-hmm. It's about letting it out. You know, because it's whether it's emotional baggage or what, but
I hate you. They make great songs.
I'm surprised, Alona, when you were writing and you were crying, that you didn't become a country singer.
I am.
Because
don't laugh. I have 12 songs. One of my youngest singer came to me many years ago, when Shania Twain, sorry, she was the star. She came to me, tiny little girl. She couldn't read. She knew every song of Shania Twain. And then she said, I want to record something like that. Can you write something for me? I have 12 songs that I created that I call Polish American country, because I came from Polish lady, probably has nothing to do with what real country is in this country, but was mine way of feeling this beautiful music, little puppyish country. And right now, one of my youngest girls just released her album, and title of this album, Kira Nicole, is A Little Bit On My Own, and that's my country song, and this is a title single for her album. Then I have like 12 of them. I never touch them because really, but also I send one of these songs, A Little Bit On My Own, to Nashville, because they say pay $30 or something and they will tell you how good or bad you are. Doesn't matter. I paid $35 and everybody laughs. But I got answer. Maybe because I paid $35. But I got answer 4.5 on the 5 on everything. And one only question, they said, great lyrics, great melody, unusual, but too long. Because my song was like 5 minutes country song, supposed to be shorter.
You can tell she's a product of the 70s when songs were longer.
I know. Storytelling like you, Italia, then, but country, I don't know. You can do everything, like you say. You are right, Kathy. This is something comes up of us, and when somebody says, no, chorus, verse, you need to do this, you need to do that. I was trying to be this way too, and I wrote a few hooky songs, and they really made me good money, and they played very well. But I found out, like Talia says also, that the storytelling, the songs that I am attached to more, they have longevity.
Mm-hmm. You know, John Fogerty said many years ago, I heard him quote say that someone was asking about songwriting, and I think they were referring to them covering, I Heard It Through the Grapevine, which was an old Marvin Gaye song. Yeah. And he says, we said what we needed to say and we moved on.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that says it all. You say what you need to say and you move on.
I know. Right. That's so perfect.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Well, we're already out of time. Did that go fast or
it
what?
It went fast.
I want to go through real quickly. Ilona, you can check out Accent On, which is on LA Talk Radio. She's on at 6 o'clock, Channel 1, where we are. And also her website, IlonaEuropaCreative.com. If you want a perspective of all the things that she does, it's all there. It explains. TaliaPaulMusic.com is her website. And all three of these ladies are on Facebook. Kathy's ToneZoneLA.com is her company. And you can see pictures of her and some of the music on the LynetteSkinner.com, I think, is the website on there. I'll have to have you guys back. There's so much. I didn't even know. We got a little bit into the technical stuff with Kathy, but your guitar playing, Talia, we got to talk about that, because she's encompassed you'll hear in this last clip, too, some of the the more rock stuff. But she, you know, as a folk guitarist, your guitar technique is really great, and I'm really in my and then Alona.
Wow, thanks.
I just love sound of guitar.
Self-taught. Ah.
So I'm
thank
gonna.
You, Jeff. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Kathy.
No problem.
Thanks, Alona. Jeff.
Now, what I'm gonna, I just want to explain the clip. I'm gonna play out for the clip. I edited all three of them into one piece.
Look at that. We got a heat.
So I'm gonna.
I want this clip.
I'll give it to you guys. No
thank
problem.
You. Send us MP3s.
So the first bit, it'll be Alona doing "Easy Come, Easy Go," and it's some of the verse. So you hear a little bit more than just the opening. I played the beat because it's the driving beat, and then it goes into a song called "Aphrodite," that's from.
Waking the World.
Which, yeah, I can't read my writing.
Oh, God. Stronger glasses.
I'm a self-promoter.
Oh,
Waking
God.
The World.
Waking in the World. It's Waking a beautiful song. And then it goes into this needle in the spoon, which Kathy did. And this is this wah solo.
Oh,
that's my favorite.
Wah.
Made
it's
my
killer.
Day. So, anyway, Scott, have fun out there. And we'll see you next week. And
yep.
Everybody out
Bye,
there,
Scott.
Have a great week.
Bye, Scott.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye.
And, see ya. Thank you, Sweetwater.
Yes, thanks, Sweetwater.
Love me some Sweetwater.
And we will see you next week. But here's the end clip of all these three amazing ladies. And they're just some of the best loving souls I've ever met in my life. So
thank
anyway.
You. We love you, Jeff.
All right. All right, everybody, have a great night. And here's the clip.
I believe you didn't mean to hurt me when you said sometimes love's a game we play in many different ways. I believe I tried to understand you this time again. Anyway.